Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 530.
Today we hear from Brian, who asks,
what's the best online resource to use to learn to create a book cover with each level explained?
Brian, that kind of thing doesn't exist in a form that I would be comfortable recommending it to anybody on. You can take courses in typography. You can look at Joel Friedlander's Book Cover Awards blog every month. That's a really good resource. However, the question you're asking doesn't have an answer as you asked it, and to help me explain why, I've brought Kitty Nikian along, because she is the resident cover art guru, and we have both together and separately designed a number of covers for books that sold very well and very poorly, and then for my books. Kitty?
I would say the reason that there isn't a good online resource that does this from step one through step 10 and how to do everything is that most of your online resources will expect that you have some kind of visual background. I mean, we started book covers, both of us, from one form of graphic background or another.
We both had fine arts training, and she had graphic design training.
And he's a photographer and made a stab at independent movies. What I will say is that for the mechanical instruction of how to do...
Before we get to that, we should sort of break down. Because the question you're asking, it to give you an idea of why it's the wrong question, it would be like asking, is there any online tutorial that will walk me through each of the steps of writing a novel? Well, as someone who has written a book that basically does that, I can say with confidence there isn't any such thing. What I did in becoming an everyday novelist and in the first 30 days of this podcast, 33 days, was to do sort of a daily walkthrough of the process. But you don't get to do a daily walkthrough of the process of one book and then suddenly become a great writer. That just grounds you if you're lucky. Art is complicated. It involves infinite choices, or at least seemingly infinite choices. And when you come to book covers, it's not just art. It's a nexus of three different, wholly distinct kinds of art forms. Visual art, graphic design, typography, and marketing. Those are all different art forms, and they've all got to come together on the cover of that book.
In terms of instructional technical tutorials, create spaces, documentation will show you what to do to make a cover that passes muster for them so that you can upload it and print it. But that doesn't tell you how to choose the art. That doesn't tell you how to choose fonts that will communicate for your genre. That doesn't tell you how to analyze the current market in your genre to see what is appealing and what is communicating.
And such an important aspect.
That is an important aspect, because what's visually appealing isn't necessarily what communicates this genre to the current audience.
And the current audience, not just the audience, but the audience today, because this stuff changes all the time.
You should look at your cover art every 5 years to see if it's still on trend.
So that you don't start to look antiquated. And there's other stuff too, like in the 70s, you didn't get a science fiction book without a naked dude or a naked chick on it. And I grew up reading those books. So when I started the science fiction podcast, we did a really gorgeous, tasteful cover with a naked chick grabbing the moon and pulling it down for the first season. And for the second cover, we did a very tasteful cover with a naked dude reaching up to the earth, which was in front of the moon. Totally inappropriate in this market. Not inappropriate as in, oh, it's inappropriate, you shouldn't do that. But inappropriate as in what it communicated to the audience in the marketplace when that came out was erotica. Not science fiction with a sort of neoclassical aesthetic, which is what we were going for. But we came out of a fine art background where neoclassical aesthetics were one of the things you learn, and we both really dug that aesthetic. it was the wrong way to try to bring it back, which is why the rebranded series doesn't have those covers anymore, much as I love them. I may finish that series of covers as an art piece, but they're not going on the books unless I do special editions.
And that isn't to say you can't look back to the past for inspiration, but if you're going for retro science fiction covers, you better have science fiction that feels like it is old style pulp.
Yes.
And you better go all the way in the design so that it looks like it was printed in the 1940s or the 1960s or whatever era you are trying to evoke.
Yeah, check out the episode I did, gosh, it was a couple years ago now, of The Everyday Novelist. You'll find it on the episode listing page at everydaynovelist.com about the issue of plagiarism and how bad artists borrow and great artists steal. What you want to do is steal, not borrow. An homage is wonderful, but if you don't make it your own and something that really feels like your book, you're just spinning your wheels. Cover art is complicated because it has these three art forms coming together, and there is no one way to do it. There's not even one program to do it with. I've seen people do fantastic covers in everything from Manga Studio to Photoshop to Illustrator to, for God's sake, PowerPoint to Inkscape to Blender to GIMP. Pick your favorite graphics package and study the art of book covers. Stop worrying about the technicals. If you don't have a favorite graphics package, especially if you can't afford one, go download GIMP. Learn how to use GIMP. That's the GNU Image Manipulation Project, GIMP. Learn how to use GIMP. You can learn by watching tutorials on YouTube. Just run yourself through a few sample projects, especially where photo manipulation and typography are concerned. Get your feet wet, and then start trying to do stuff with it. And just as you do with writing, with the expectation that the early stuff is gonna suck balls. Because it will. Mine did. We spent 3 years on our first film because we had to learn how to use graphics software that wasn't made for a text interface to begin with. And then we had to learn how to work with video, and then we had to learn about filmmaking. So we actually shot the film first, and then we spent 3 years doing the visual effects and the editing for this little 4-minute film. But we learned everything we needed to learn to do the next few projects. And those next projects allowed us to learn more things. Is this sounding familiar? Does this sound kind of like the way I describe writing?
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same. It's an art form on its own, which is why some people pay people like us to make covers for them.
Definitely a lot of trial and error. Look at the books that you like reading and study the market. Try making covers that fit.
And by fit, we mean
communicate the genre and give the audience the correct expectations for your book.
Yeah. People don't like to be surprised when they buy a book. They like to pick something up knowing what to expect. They like to be surprised in the story, but not by the book.
Think of cover art as the promos for a TV show. A bad cover is like a promo that misleads the audience as to what to expect. It convinces them that this hard, serious sci-fi show is kind of a buddy comedy or something like that, you know? We've all seen shows where we really love it, but we had to get past the promos that were really dumb.
I've got it. The perfect example of that. When the first Scream film came out, I was kind of a horror movie virgin. And I didn't like slasher films. I'd only ever seen half of one. I wasn't interested in slasher films, but I did like me a good satire and parody. And the way that Scream was marketed, it was marketed as if it were a spoof. Now, I'm sure if I had been more conversant with horror films, I would have known to expect that it was also a horror film, maybe. But I wasn't expecting that. I went in to see Scream because I had to kill a couple of hours one afternoon, and I happened to be next to a movie theater and I wanted a comedy. And if you've seen Scream, you know that the first 10 minutes of that film are a super intense murder and chase scene. That first time you see it, especially see it on a big screen, and especially if you've never really watched anything like that before. By the end of that, my fingers were gripping down I was peeling the surfacing off of the movie theater seats. And I sat there while the very brief opening credit sequence was running, during that lull between that first scene and the next bit of dialogue. And I had that conversation with myself. This is not what I signed up for. I should get up and go right now. And then the other half of my brain says, yeah, this is not what you signed up for. And that was a really crappy advertising campaign. However, that was really good. That was like Hitchcock without a conscience good. Let's give it a chance, see how it goes. I wound up loving the film and discovering a whole new vista of horror film that I had never been into before. But that could very easily have gone the other way and put me off anything by that writer or director in the future, which would have been a shame because I have found many things written by Kevin Williamson and directed by Wes Craven since that I have absolutely loved. So you don't want to take that risk.
So yeah, bad cover is a bad promo.
Bad cover is also a cover that looks amateurish. Those are the two different kinds of bad covers you got. Right. And if you want to see amateurish, look at the cover for Taken by T-Rex. But bear in mind that Taken by T-Rex made its author $1 million.
Well, it did communicate what it was.
It really did. So maybe you're right. Maybe a bad cover is only judged by the effectiveness of communicating with the audience. Oh, anyway, I think that about wraps it up for this one. What do you think, Kitty?
I think so, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for sending in the question. And if you guys want to hear me pull Kitty Nakian in on more of these, send questions that have more to do with arts, covers, packaging, and that sort of thing. And I will find ways to bribe her into coming on mic to do more than just read the questions.
Eek.
Thanks very much for sending it in. And I at least will see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.